When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
For the past 20 years, you've enjoyed the refreshing tropical lime flavor of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. So in celebration of this milestone, we're bringing Baja Blast in stores nationwide. And for a limited time with every purchase of Baja Blast, you can collect coins for a chance to get Baja gear or a Taco Bell deal. 2024 is the year of Baja Blast. In stores now. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 18 plus. Subject to official rules at BajaBlast.com and 615-24. Void where prohibited.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois. Give a little bit of, with a little bit of, let it hang
on, with a little bit of, and a sprinkle of it, let it just fall. I hope that you survived your Monday. Bit of a manic Monday. It was for me, anyway. Penny is needing extra care. And so I have to wake up every couple hours to take care of her. I made the mistake on Monday of sleeping in my bed. That was the big mistake with Penn on Monday. So she loves to sleep next to the bed. All right. She's done that as long as I've had her, 12 years. And sometimes I have her bed there. Sometimes when it's warmer out, she just prefers the cool floor. And even at 14 plus, she can still climb the stairs. Now, she goes super slow. She takes one or two steps at a time, unless she's really feeling frisky, and then she might take three. But sometimes I have to help her. Well, I don't have to, but I do help her because I can support her underneath her belly and kind of help her back legs a little bit. And that way she goes straight up. Then she'll go all the way up without stopping. So I let her come upstairs, helped her to come upstairs in the morning as I was getting ready for bed on Monday after we'd had our walks and stuff and breakfast and insulin and water and hats and treats and everything else. It's a whole ordeal. So I'm helping her up the stairs. I let her go to sleep. I'm thinking, all right, I'll get three good hours. I know that sounds crazy, but she needs to go out pretty frequently now. She's like an old person. My senior dog, she's like an old person in that she has to go out a lot more often. Except I didn't really think about the fact that it takes us a good 5 minutes to get down the stairs. So to get her up and then down the stairs and then outside. So that was a big mess. It wasn't worth it. So actually on Tuesday, I'm going to try a new strategy. I am going to sleep on the couch. I don't remember the last time I slept on a couch. Seriously. I have a pull-out bed on my couch. So you take off the cushions, pull out the bed. I guess it used to be called a hide-a-bed. I'm not sure if that's still the same. It's actually relatively comfortable, except that I'm not going to go through the whole process. It's a long process of pulling the bed out, making the bed. So instead, I'm just going to try to grab a nap on the couch. Here's my challenge. And I will not take a picture. I refuse. So don't even ask me. I don't sleep when it's super bright out. So I have darker curtains in my bedroom. And then I also put pillows on one side of the bed. So as I'm facing that side of the bed or the middle of the bed, they kind of block out the light. And I don't have any blinds on the living room window. So it's a big bay window. There's curtains there, but they don't really block out the light. And so I'm going to have to wear an eye cover. What are those things called?
A mask.
A mask. Thank you. Right, but so now mask, whatever you say mask, people think you're referring to the mask over your nose and your mouth, or just over your mouth, as some people wear. I'm going to have to wear an eye mask. And I remember, this is really funny, where I got this eye mask from. My elderly friend Margaret, who I just spoke to on the phone over the weekend, she's doing really well, getting close to 90 years old. She is all excited to meet the new hubs at some point. Anyway, she gave me this eye mask because she was very concerned a couple years ago when she still lived in my neighborhood. She was very concerned that I was not sleeping well in the daytime because it was so bright. And actually, it's physiological. Our bodies, even if you use darkened curtains, even if you wear an eye mask, your body still knows. It has to do with your circadian rhythms. Your body still knows when it's daytime. And our physical bodies are not made to sleep in the daytime. That's why there's all these scientific studies done about how bad, how bad it is for you to try to work overnights, right? There's all kinds of studies. I refuse to read them anymore. But in the past, I've looked at them, and it's not great for people to sleep during the daytime. You don't get the same quality sleep that you do at night, which is why one of these days or decades, I need to get off the overnight schedule. But anyway, not today. So I'm going to have to wear an eye mask because it's so bright in the living room. I don't know if that's going to disorient me. Have you ever woken up and it's either light out or it's dark out and you can't figure out why? That's happened to me before, where I've accidentally either turned off my alarm or slept longer than I was supposed to and it's dark. And you wake up and there's instant panic because it's dark and you can't realize why, you don't understand why it's dark. Like you lay down and take a nap and then you wake up and it's dark and OMG. Or the opposite, this is the worst. Go to bed, have to catch an early flight, wake up and it's light out. And you know, like that happened to me once when I had to catch a flight in Boston. I woke up in Providence, Rhode Island, was supposed to get on the road really early, way before it was light out, to get to Logan and catch an early flight out of Boston. But I woke up and it was light out. And it took about 2.3 seconds for me to realize it's not supposed to be light out. That was one of the worst days ever, ever. Oh my gosh, that was awful. Talk about panic. Anyway, so eye mask it is, and I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go, or if it's going to be irritating, or if it's going to bother me. And no, I'm not going to share a photo, but I got to stay downstairs with Penn on Tuesday because I don't want her to be climbing up the stairs. She's a trooper, though. She would climb. In fact, I helped her on Monday evening just because she wanted to be upstairs with me. The things we do for our pets. Now I'm about to cop a squat on the couch with an eye mask for the dog.
So believe it or not, I used an eye mask for the first time literally like 3 days ago.
When you were flying?
Yes. So I had one from a previous flight that they had given out in my travel bag.
Oh, they give them out?
Not all flights, but this one I was on like a few flights, like a year or something ago. It was just in my bag still.
Yep.
And it was a long day, and I just was like not having it. And I was like, the person in front of me had like their light on reading, and it was late, so it was really bright. So I was like, let me just try this. I had it. I was digging around my bag. I knew it was there. Took a second to get used to, but honestly, it wasn't that bad.
Flights, I just wear sunglasses.
Yeah, that works.
That's what I do. I have pretty dark sunglasses. It's just that if I'm, because my head's back against the headrest, I'm not laying on my face, right? So when you're sleeping with a pillow, it's a little harder to wear sunglasses. Mm-hmm. But that is what I do. I do the same thing just to try to block out the light on flights. Because they generally do turn off the overhead lights.
Yeah.
And if it's a night flight, like I just flew back from Vegas on a red eye, it was pretty dark in the plane. And you can pull down the window shades. But yeah, when I'm flying first thing in the morning and window shades are up and the sunrise, which is usually beautiful up in the air, but it's shining through all the windows and it's really hard to sleep. Yeah, I'll wear sunglasses. So the eye mask, did it work?
It did. So it's a similar idea to the sunglasses. It's just kind of, It's weird, like, if you open your eyes for a second and it's just still pitch black. Obviously, that's the point of the eye mask. But just to, like, get used to that takes a couple seconds, a couple minutes. But then you just kind of pass out and it's all normal.
Wait, first of all, I never pass out on planes, so I'm jealous. I thought you were flying back at night. Is this the time when we need to tell people your crazy travel story?
No, I was flying back at night, but I was saying it was dark. But the person in front had was reading, so it was like, I don't know, it got in my head. It was messing me up. So I tried
it got
the eye
in
mask.
Your head.
Got in my head. Once I'm in my head when it's sleeping, it's over. So
producer Jay is back from his vacation, but it was not a great travel experience either way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And producer Jay, whose birthday is Tuesday, if you would like to send birthday wishes to our show account, After Hours CBS, already did my birthday duty with a big old brunch at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. He got to pick, and we went to the Bellagio. But Jay, what about your travel story? How much time did you spend in airports?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the way there, I thought it couldn't get worse. And then the way home, it just turned out it was. The way there, I was delayed, I think, 5 hours in total before we finally took off.
Sitting in a New York airport?
Oh, my gosh. It's just, and remember how, when was it, your trip to Vegas, when you were running late, and then the pilot got on the tarmac, and it was like, there's 17 planes ahead of us, but we're cutting them all. Yeah, that didn't happen to my flight. We were delayed about 4.5 hours. We get to the tarmac, and there was about 17 planes in front of us.
Whoa.
But wait, we waited for all of them. We were not getting any priority.
Actually, yeah. So my flight to Vegas was delayed, but once we took off, it was okay. It was the flight back from Atlanta when there were 18 planes in front of us. And then all of a sudden, we got clearance to jump the line. That's never happened to me in all of my extensive flying history that we got to jump the line.
I thought maybe some of your luck would run off because we were so late and I saw the line there. Like, we're waiting in it,
What do you do in the airport for you live like an hour away. I would have gone home.
We should have. So we got there 3 hours early because it's an international flight.
Gosh.
That's what they tell you to do. And they were like,
I can't believe you're such a rule follower.
It's
your family.
Gosh.
Yes.
So we were on the way there. It was already delayed 1 hour. And they were like, still get here. Like, we might push it in. We're just not sure. And I was like, I don't like this. But we're still going. And then we get there. And then we get through security, which, of course, that day was fine. We're in and out 20 minutes.
So you ended up at the airport 4 hours before your flight because you went 3 hours early and it was delayed by an hour.
Right. So now at this point, it's like 3.5, 4 hours early.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they just push it back again.
I would rather stick a fork in my eye.
I almost did multiple times.
Oh, my gosh. So you get to the airport, you get through security, it's super easy, and then what?
Then we try to find a place to sit down, and there was, like, no tables available. So we're kind of just hovering in the one area for, like, 20 minutes, half hour waiting for someone to get up. So that killed a little bit of time.
Oh.
that's the fun we had. Yeah, people watching. It was great. Eventually, we're just kind of waiting in the area and bored. And then, like I said, we're so behind. The pilots are sitting on the plane, which is even worse than sitting in the airport, is sitting on the plane.
Right.
Yeah. And then we get out there, whatever. It's like, finally land. It's like 4 a.m. local time. Get to the local airport.
At
hotel.
4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Oh.
Roughly. And then, start our trip on a great note that way.
Wow. So what was worse, going there or coming back?
Oh, coming home was much worse because that was a full day thing where we had to travel 3 hours on Costa Rican roads, which were like dirt and windy mountain roads.
Actually, that sounds really cool.
It was all right. After like a week of doing it, though, and sitting in the back seat, it's, you know, you kind of just get a little sick after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, whatever, that's fine. Then we get to the airport, get out actually normally there. But then we land in Orlando, and that's where all the fun happens because before we even landed in Orlando, they delayed our plane, so you land and immediately you get that text saying, the flight's now 3 hours back. It's supposed to be like a 20, half hour, overlay.
No, and you get that sick feeling in your stomach.
But then the worst part about the Orlando one was it was about 8 o'clock we were supposed to leave, so now everything closes
PM?
At p.m., and then everything closes at 9 in the airport, 9 p.m.
No!
So can't even get a water if you want to. We're sitting there until 12:30.
There's no vending machines? Nothing?
There's nothing there. They're not giving us anything. There's no one even there.
Ugh.
We finally get on the plane after 4.5 hours of sitting there. And they go, thanks for, so sorry about that. Thanks for getting on. Now we're just waiting for our pilots to get here. There's not even a pilot. I can't.
All right, but you have to finish the story. How long did you wait for the pilots?
We waited for the pilots for about, the flight attendant says they're landing shortly. Then we have to wait for them to clear that plane. The one pilot said they're coming from Boston. The one attendant said they're coming from Boston. The other attendant said they're coming from Virginia. They have no idea what was going on. Then we were waiting for them for about a half hour, 35 minutes. They finally get there, do their... Then they go, sorry about that.
Flight
we're
check.
Here. Yeah. Now we have to put our flight program into the computer, and we have to get the flight plan. That's another 15, 20 minutes. So now at this point, we're on the plane for an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh.
It's about 1 in the morning, Eastern time.
Oh. And you left your place in Costa Rica what time?
About 8:30 a.m., which is central time there.
By the time you flew from Orlando back to, is it LaGuardia?
LaGuardia.
Back to LaGuardia in New York City. And then you get, I don't know if you had train or car. I know you took the train there. But at that hour, there's no train, right?
No, we had a ride who was luckily stayed up with us.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. So you have a ride. But what time did you actually get home?
Got home around 4:30. 4:40 Eastern time.
Oh, man.
Because it's a quick flight. It was like a 2-hour flight from Orlando to LaGuardia. Ugh. Just couldn't have didn't have a pilot.
It's
and this
so
is the
frustrating.
This is multiple times with this airlines where they've scheduled the flight and then didn't have the pilot or didn't have someone to take the bags off the bottom of the plane, which was delayed an hour.
Yeah. I mean, like every other industry in the country, airlines are short-staffed. And so they're asking the same people to do multiple jobs. That sounds familiar. So not enough bodies to go around. At the same time, though, it's so frustrating. As I was saying about Bob's flight last week, and you were already gone, he ends up having a flight that's delayed an hour. So he sits in the airport an extra hour. They get all the way out to the tarmac, and they make an announcement that they have to go back to the gate. So they turn around and go back to the gate. They take a passenger off the plane. Then they've got to do paperwork, of course, because you've got to do it right then. Forget the people who are sitting on the plane. By the time they finally land in Houston, I mean, they make a little time up in the air, but not a lot. Oh, they also made him check his bag. Even though he bought a ticket that said carry-on included, they made him check it. For free, right? So that the only thing they mean when they say carry-on included is that you don't have to pay for it. If they want to make you check it, they can. Mm-hmm. So because they're running late into Houston and because there aren't as many people working, he waits 30 minutes for his bag. And by that time, the rental car company is closed.
I would lose my mind.
Can't get there. No one answering the phone. Calls the national number. They're closed as well. Has to take an Uber home, even though he's already prepaid for a rental car, and then has to turn around and get a ride back to the airport the next morning so that he can get his rental car.
Who paid for the Uber home?
He did.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, there's no recourse. You don't have any recourse whatsoever. The only way that you do is if the airline cancels a flight or if you take one of those vouchers for taking a later flight. Otherwise, the airlines, it's in the fine print, not responsible.
So this one, they said that, because it was a point there where there was literally no one even at the gate for hours. So we were like, this isn't happening tonight. It ended up eventually the flying out. This is when we were coming home from Orlando. So they said, There's nobody there.
Oh.
And then they said, the only way we could like pay for a hotel for the night or give you anything is if it's our fault, if it's a mechanical error with the plane. They get on the pilot goes on and goes, sorry, we had a mechanical error like on our last plane. And they were like, they said that it wasn't. I don't know. So my mom.
On their last plane, on your plane.
On their last plane, and then that was the reason for the delay, was a mechanical issue. Then they were like, oh, no, like, actually, sorry, it wasn't. So that was the
liars.
One reason. I don't know.
Oh, it's the worst.
And then the thing that bothered me the most was when we finally get in the air, after 5 hours of delay, they go, we have headphones and eye mask available for purchase. And I was like,
purchase?
You got to be kidding.
No. Oh, my God.
I mean, I didn't need them, but just the fact.
The nerve,
exactly.
Though.
Exactly.
The nerve. And what airline was this?
This was JetBlue.
JetBlue. Are you ever... Oh, I should have known through Orlando. Are you ever flying JetBlue again?
No, there is zero chance.
Orlando has a lot of issues. It's not a huge airport, and they handle so much volume because of the attraction that it is. But yeah, I've heard such terrible things. Now, I fly Spirit a fair amount of the time, and I've never had any issues with Spirit, but I know a lot of people do. My niece just did Spirit to Mexico last week. Well, she was supposed to, and they canceled the flights and don't. Yeah, they don't offer you any recourse. They don't offer you new flights. They just canceled the flight altogether. Yeah, too bad. Sorry, we're not going. And I do know that Spirit has changed times on me a few, you know, a few different flights. And in one case, I even had to like rebook. But I've never had any issues with them. But it's like that. They make you buy everything, even water. On Spirit, you can't even get water for free.
Charging for water?
Yeah, they charge for everything.
I mean, they didn't even give us handout waters or anything for this one. Sitting there for 5 hours in the terminal.
Wow.
Felt like Tom Hanks in the movie.
The customer service is sorely lacking.
Terrible.
Tom Hanks in terminal.
Exactly.
All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. I know we all have travel snafus. I'm pretty sure we've done at least two shows over the last 11 plus years about our travel nightmares. One of those happened, when we had this major snowstorm. It was Super Bowl week of 21, I think. And I was doing my show from home because we got 2 feet of snow. And so I didn't end up driving the studio and we stumbled into travel snafus. Anyway, glad to have you with us. Thank you for your messages on both Twitter and Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Lewis, who's in South Carolina, you're up next on After Hours.
Amy.
Yes.
You know, I'm a Clemson Tiger calling from South Kakalaki. I got to tell you, y'all had me cracking up. I want to have some of that stuff y'all were drinking while y'all were doing. I got one more real quick thing, please.
Wait, there's no way you could possibly top that.
This is a lyric from Eddie Money. I think I'm in love and my life's looking up. I think I'm in love because I can't get enough. I'm in love with your show. I'm in love with you, Amy.
Aw, well, that's very sweet, Lewis.
I'm a pilot. I got a plane. I'll be there in about an hour.
You are one hell of a man.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You know what, producer Jay? I just thought of a great show question sometime. In light of Eddie Money's Paradise, or Two Tickets to Paradise, we should ask people, what is paradise in sports? To you, what is your sports paradise? Not tonight. Don't do it. Don't send us the answers tonight. Because we're already 90 minutes into the show, so we wouldn't have a full chance to rack it up and get ready for it. But that's kind of a fun question. Last week, Jay missed out on some really good ones, like toughest job in sports. We got so many great answers there. Or the historical moment that you wish you had been alive to see in person or on TV. And I was talking to my best friend over the weekend. She and I went to high school together, big history buffs, and she actually had the same answer as me, which I thought was fun. The moon landing in 1969. Yeah.
I could have guessed that.
Was not alive for that. But it was really neat to see so many answers that span different generations and, of course, different. Well, some of you actually went back to ancient history, but different generations, different decades, whether it be 60s, 70s, 80s. So you missed this. Ryan, who was filling in last week for you, is 22 years old. Big music buff. His favorite music is the 70s and 80s. Classic rock, mostly. He wished he had been alive to witness or to participate in Woodstock. That was his answer as a 22-year-old.
That's a good one.
But would you have ever expected that a 22-year-old would say Woodstock?
No, I would not expect that out of Ryan. I like that he said that. That's awesome. But no, wouldn't have ever guessed that.
Yeah, we got so many answers. In some events that I was alive to witness, and so you know that our audience runs the gamut from people who are in their 80s to people who are in their 20s. And in fact, we do at times have younger people, high school students, or we over Christmas break had a couple calls from a 14-year-old in Portland. What was his name? Kyle, maybe in Portland. Anyway, he was awesome. He was hiding in a corner of his room because his mom and his dad were across the hall and he didn't want them to hear him. So he was listening to the radio through his headphones, but then he called. I guess, on a cell phone. And he was in the corner of his room trying to speak quietly so his parents wouldn't figure him out.
That's classic.
Yeah, that was over Christmas break. He was extremely popular. Seahawks fan and wanted to call and talk about... Actually, one of the calls that he made was about Russell Wilson getting benched. Oh, that's a perfect segue. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's set this next hour up for you. At the top, we've got the latest on franchise tags that won't be applied. Kind of interesting. It's almost the complete opposite of a year ago. So franchise tags that will not be applied, plus Deion Dawkins. I don't like your language, Deion. We're going to let you hear from him explaining his beef with the Jets, just because it's the offseason and it's goofy. But also, I've never heard of Vlad TV in my life. What is Vlad? Is that like Vladimir Guerrero?
That's immediately what I thought of.
Yeah, maybe he has his own TV network.
It's not him, but
that's unfortunate. Well, who is it then?
It's Vlad TV.
I know, but who's Vlad?
The other Vlad.
Oh, okay. And then Russell Wilson, even as we were just mentioning, our teenage listener who was a fan of Russell Wilson, he is making a lot of headlines because of his comments with Brandon Marshall on the I Am Athlete podcast. And he wants people to count him out because he's still got something to prove.
I think in a 12-year period, there hasn't been much that I haven't gone through. I've been through all the winning, been through some of the losing, not all of it.
Somebody said something.
Some of it. Don't get used to it.
Yeah, right.
Because so many people get used to losing.
Right.
Winning is a habit, but losing is too. Mm. And that's not a habit I'm taking in. That's not a habit I believe in, losing. So winning's got to be the habit that you get so addicted to. What I'm on right now is this journey of winning. And everybody sees winning as just the hole in the trophy. No, it's the journey. It's the challenge. It's the obstacles. It's the things you got to go through and go underneath and challenge and dodge and still also know that, man, like, what God's got for me is so much greater than even where I'm standing right now. Even if my feet are in the stand, it feels like you're struggling. Okay, how to get out of it, man? Like, I know what God has for me. What's next is the process of winning and the habit of winning and the habit of the obsession, the love for it. That's what I love.
He's definitely passionate, and he still has goals and dreams and the right perspective. I like what he has to say about the journey. Because I tell you this a bunch, no team starts a season ready to win a championship. Think about the Super Bowl champs. This year, we finally saw the cracks in the dam with the offense. Travis Kelce, I mean, he came on strong in the playoffs, but he was not good during the regular season. The receiving corps led the league in drops. Patrick Mahomes, lowest numbers of his NFL career. Not an MVP candidate until the playoffs. And so he and the Chiefs had to walk a bumpy road to get to the point where they were ready to be champions. So I do appreciate that from Russell Wilson. And you hear Mr. Unlimited come out in that snippet of conversation with Brandon Marshall on the I Am Athlete podcast. By the way, he went on 84 minutes. It's nearly an hour and a half. You know what I should do in an upcoming training run? Start the I Am Athlete podcast. And when I get done, I will know that I have gone nearly 90 minutes.
It's a lot of Russell Wilson.
That is. Maybe I'll... No, I can't fast forward. That's the whole point. I got to listen to the whole thing.
Unlimited.
Court storming. It's all the rage right now when it comes to sports radio debates. I'll just tell you the truth. I don't really think there is a solution, at least not a viable one, not one that the students are going to accept. And, okay, don't be like me. Well, I should say don't be like me. If you're not like me, when I was younger, I was definitely a rule follower. I didn't really color outside the lines, if you will. Now, after 11 plus years of driving in New York City, oh my gosh, the number of traffic laws I've broken in my life. Well, weekly, I mean, if you don't drive aggressively in New York, just get run over. The rats will get you too. Anyway, so I don't follow rules as closely as I used to when I was younger. But if someone had told me no storming the court, I would have obeyed. Man, that's not going to be the case for the majority of students. You tell them not to storm the court, guess what? There are no repercussions for them, so what do they care if the school gets fined? So what is the solution? That's a tough question. I honestly don't know what the solution is. Now, it's different than fixing the NBA All-Star game because who gives a crap? Nobody watches it anyway. But it doesn't matter. Unless you go to the game and it's about the star power, that's one thing. But nobody watches that game, and the athletes don't care. They just mostly don't want to get hurt. But if you're talking about fixing this problem because you're worried about someone getting hurt, maybe there's a greater sense of urgency. But I don't know how you do it. Other than, as some people have indicated, do not give students access to the court, or punish the entire student body by keeping them out of a home game if they storm the court. But that sucks, because then you're really punishing a large group for the actions of a few, though generally that is what works, right? Although I'm not even sure that would work. Do you think some students would rather storm the court, have the experience, and then just not go to the next game? Who cares? Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. But some of you are sending your solutions on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, if you would like to send your birthday greetings and birthday wishes to producer Jay, because Tuesday is his B-Day. He's getting so old. Also on our Facebook page. Thanks for hanging out with us. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
A long pass in the front court, intercepted by Cam Hildreth. Horn sounds, and Wake has done it. The Deacons upset Duke by the final score of 83-79. And for the first time in 4 years, Mark, the Deacons off or knock off a top 10 team. Wake stays unbeaten at home, 15-0. The students have stormed the court as Wake hangs on to beat the Devils.
Disappointed we lost. I'm more concerned about the well-being of our guys. You know, Flip sprains his ankle. When are we going to ban court storming? Like, when are we going to ban that? Like, how many times does a player have to get into something where they get punched or they get pushed or they get taunted right in their face? It's a dangerous thing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Shire stumping for the end to court storming, and across college basketball, whether it's current or retired, current or former coaches and players, this debate right now is all the rage. As for Kyle Filipowski, who was caught up in the court storming, gosh, it's kind of scary to see. He's out in the middle of the court at Wake Forest. His coach tries to get to him, tries to help him. He gets rammed into by a fan. Maybe doesn't even see him. I don't know that it was intentional, but he gets run into by a fan. He gets spun around, and then he gets stepped on. And then you've got other examples this year. Caitlin Clark, the best player in women's college basketball, getting caught up in court storming. People could get trampled too, which is something else. You know, we think about the tramplings in Europe at some of the major football games at stadiums where there are so many people that it's impossible to do crowd control effectively. And how often, I feel like it's at least once a year, you hear about people getting trampled in some crazy scene across the pond or somewhere else in the world because the fans are out of control. We don't want that. It just takes one time for this to be a worst case scenario. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, Steve Forbes, the Wake Forest head coach, did apologize for this incident on Monday on The Drive, and he specifically singled out John Shire, the Duke head coach. But as I say, the conversation has gone farther than that. Shaka Smart, he spoke over the weekend, and we used some of that audio on the first show of the week. He doesn't actually think it needs to be banned. He thinks that the injuries are relatively... the chances of a serious injury are relatively slim, right? So we're not talking about injuries that happen all the time. But you've got guys on the other end of the spectrum, like longtime Kansas coach Bill Self, who really wants to see this addressed now.
I certainly don't think it ever should be let them do as they want. I think, and we've probably been stormed on about as much as anybody, I would think. At least there was a period of time, like every road loss we had on a home court, it seemed like it was a court storming. We've actually gotten better at it because of the way you can prep your team in certain ways. And a lot of the safety measures up until recently, I think, has been with the the visiting team educating their own players how to handle it. And I mean, like, calling a timeout with 15 seconds left and it's a 10-point game just to get guys out of the game or whatever, or tell them, okay, don't go out there, everybody stand next to the sideline. You know, those things happen. But even with that, that should not be the responsibility of the visiting team to educate their guys. I don't like it.
Yeah, the idea that you have to get the players and the coaches off the court before a court storming is nonsensical. And it doesn't make – I don't think it makes for a safer solution anyway. How do you hold back fans who are determined to storm the court – especially when they're so close to the court in basketball? It's different than some of the other sports. But to try to get them off the court, I think, diffuses the emotion anyway. And so they're not, I don't know. The whole idea is that you rush the, and I'm speaking about this from a student's perspective. The whole idea is that you rush the court in the throes of emotion to try to hold them at bay until the players and coaches get off the court. You might as well just keep them off the court then. It's easy to say. I don't know how easy it is to implement, but maybe there's something to a punitive discipline when this happens.
I would think the leagues could certainly put stiff enough penalties down on places that do, that would certainly deter those things from ever happening, at least in my standpoint. And the one that everyone's talking about as of recently, that was one of the quickest ones I've ever seen. I mean, that happened so fast. And if you don't have the proper security in a situation like that, it would be hard to imagine that fans do not come in contact with visiting players, which could lead, obviously, to injuries or maybe legal things down the road. So I would hope they could just totally do away with them.
I just don't know how you do it. Jim Boeheim, longtime Syracuse coach, actually player too, he was with Dan Patrick on Monday.
I'm very sympathetic. I love Kyle Filipowski. I hope he's all right. I really do. But in all the years of all the court stormings I've seen, and, you know, I'm kind of old, so it's probably a couple hundred, right? I've never seen anybody get hurt. I mean, that's the first thing everybody's talked about since this happened. Mm-hmm. Player safety, players this. And I've never seen anybody get hurt. Now, it doesn't mean they couldn't get hurt, but it's you could stop it. I mean, you'd have to just ring the whole building with police officers with sticks and stuff.
Yeah.
Sticks? Sticks? No, let's not have police officers wielding sticks. First of all, who's going to pay for the police officers and their overtime? Is the conference going to do that? Police officers have much more important jobs to do, and they're already overworked as it is in many cases, so that's not a good idea. I just don't know how you would pay for that anyway, unless as a conference you decide that's something you want to do. I agree with him. It's rare that we hear about players getting hurt or that this becomes an issue. And students have been storming courts for years, but it only takes one. And that's the problem, is that we've come pretty darn close this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The court storming experience for students, for the athletes, some of them will tell you that they love it, right? Some of them will tell you that it was such a cool way to celebrate a huge win. So how do you get prevailing sentiment that it's not a good idea, especially among students? I don't know. But it's got to be something that they remember. It's got to be something that they care about. I like this suggestion from John on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can't stop them from running on the court, but you can strip the home team's win as a punishment. Ooh, could you imagine? The coaches would lose their minds. Just like when fans throw stuff on the ice at hockey games, the home team gets the penalty. Well, sometimes, but not for hat tricks. I mean, when octopi get thrown on the ice, I don't recall there being penalties.
Loud applause.
So I agree that you could try to up the ante when it comes to the penalties. I just don't think students care. And if the coaches and the athletes, the athletic directors, the administrators, they make announcements, there's signs, they say, don't storm the court, you're going to cost the team a win, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. Except if you storm the court after a win, you're really going to take the win away? I don't even think that. No. I mean, I like the idea, but wow. That seems harsh. But I guess we should be open to suggestions. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
For the past 20 years, you've enjoyed the refreshing tropical lime flavor of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. So in celebration of this milestone, we're bringing Baja Blast in stores nationwide. And for a limited time with every purchase of Baja Blast, you can collect coins for a chance to get Baja gear or a Taco Bell deal. 2024 is the year of Baja Blast. In stores now. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 18 plus. Subject to official rules at BajaBlast.com and 615-24. Void where prohibited.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.